Would you take God's Word and go with me, please, to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 12, Judges chapter number 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, Judges chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And I want to ask you a question, and here's the question. What is the greatest threat to this church? I want to tell you that I don't think it's the world without, but I think it's the fact that Satan wants to get within and cause disruption. What's the greatest threat to your marriage? I want to tell you, it's what the devil can do in your own heart and your own life. What is the greatest threat to the relationships that you have with your family members and those who are dear to you? I want to tell you, it's what you allow within your heart. And so we're going to find this morning that the great threat to the nation of Israel was not the threat that the Ammonites or the Philistines or the Midianites or any other nation posed to them. The great threat was the threat within. And we find it here in the book of Judges in the 12th chapter, beginning in verse number 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? And if he said, nay, then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 8. The Bible said there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. Why did they fall? They fell because of their pride. They fell because of their pride. 42,000. Imagine that. 42,000 killed by their own brothers. And why? Because of their pride. And I want to speak to you this morning on the pride of Ephraim. The pride of Ephraim. And I want you to know that pride is the sin that has hindered the work of God. Pride is the sin that has destroyed so many friendships and so many family relationships, and it is working against your marriage. And I want you to know, pride is the sin that has wreaked havoc in the church of God. Pride. And here we find an example of pride. Now, we must remember that God brought the people into the land of Canaan, and they were to abide there as God's people. And though they were living in according to their tribal inheritance, they were to be one people, and they were to worship God in one place at Shiloh, at the tabernacle, and that was to be a unifying influence in their lives. But because they failed to obey God and drive out the Canaanites, they were drawn away into the Canaanite worship. Remember, in the very beginning, they were worshiping their God, Jehovah God, the way that the Canaanites worshiped their God. And I see that across our country. We see that many are worshiping God in the way of this world and according to the flesh. It doesn't take long, though, once you've started down that road. And this is the road that the Israelites started down, where they began to forsake God altogether. And now they're worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. And we see in our nation, we have turned our back against the true and the living God. And we worship ourselves, we worship things, we worship athletes, we worship success, we worship money, we worship achievement. Those have become our gods. And as this nation was carried away into idolatry, they sank very quickly into immorality. And a nation that was to remain unified had now become divided. Divided. And we see among God's people, we see divisions. We've all heard the tragic stories of church splits. We've heard of people who have tried to exercise their will above what was best for the church and have caused division. In fact, in years gone by, even this church has been touched by those problems. And what is the root of all of it? I'll tell you what the root is. It's pride. And I want you to know that all of us deal with it, don't we? All of us. And friend, if you don't think you're dealing with it, then you're guilty of it. We're all dealing with this sin, the sin of pride. Now, Jephthah here had led the men of Israel, his army, to a mighty victory over the Ammonites. And let's remember, the Ammonites had oppressed them for 18 years. But before Jephthah did that, he had to get over some things. Remember, his brothers, if you read chapter number 11, his brothers hated him because they perceived Jephthah's birth as an illegitimate birth. Jephthah was the son of an harlot, and so they cast him out. And then in the time of their despair, when the Ammonite oppression was so great and they were looking for a leader, who did they call on? They called on Jephthah. And Jephthah forgave his brothers and assumed the responsibility. And he returned to Gilead to lead the men against the Ammonites. And God gave a mighty victory. And if you remember, Jephthah vowed a vow. And his daughter came to meet him. And Jephthah's vow was that he would give to the Lord the first person to come out of his house to greet him. And here came his daughter. And what grief of heart that caused Jephthah and Jephthah's wife and, of course, Jephthah's daughter. The Bible says she went to bewail her virginity for 2 months and she came back. And then Jephthah, we believe, according to the scripture and the word of God, took his daughter to the tabernacle where she became a servant of the Lord perpetually in the tabernacle, never to marry, never to have a child. And she was Jephthah's only child. And so Jephthah and his dear wife would never experience the joy of grandchildren. They would not see their family lineage continue. What great sacrifice this man made. And so here come the people of Ephraim. And no doubt they're coming to say, Jephthah, thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. No doubt they're coming to say, Jephthah, we have a gift for you. Or no doubt they're coming to sort of ease the burden that Jephthah and his wife are going through. Is that why they came? No, when he looked outside the front door and he went out to speak to all of this mighty military from Ephraim, they said, we're going to burn your house down. Isn't that terrible? That God's people would treat one who loved them and did so much for them in such a way. But do you know the Apostle Paul said this? He said, the more I love, the less I be loved. You know what causes that? I want to tell you quite simply, pride. Pride. These Ephraimites were offended. They thought, wait a minute, Jephthah, you went up to fight the battle and you didn't call on us? They were filled with pride. I want you to go with me this morning, please, to Proverbs chapter number 6. And I want you to hold a place in Proverbs. Maybe if you want to put your marker there, because we're going to be looking at several verses this morning in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. I want you to know what God thinks about pride. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord, what's the next word? Hate. That's a strong word, isn't it? These six things doth the Lord, let's say it again, hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. What a strong word. An abomination unto Him. Oftentimes when we speak of the sin of our nation and the things that we see going on in our country, we say, these things are an abomination unto God. And we need to realize that those same things that God calls an abomination that we often refer to, God also calls an abomination here in Proverbs chapter 6. And I want us to see what these things are. Verse 17, a proud look. God hates that. You know, the look of haughtiness, the look that nobody can tell me what to do, the look that says, I have arrived, here I am. Bow down to me. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I believe that if we looked at this story in Judges chapter 12 very carefully, we're going to find all of these things. And it all begins with what? What's the very first thing on the list? A proud look. It begins with pride. God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 16. Would you look over there, please? Proverbs 16. Again, have your Bible ready there in the book of Proverbs, and then we'll go back to Judges 12, and we'll come back and forth quite a bit. So maybe stick your thumb there and keep it there while we're looking at all these texts. Proverbs 16 and verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an, would you say it with me? An abomination. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God hates pride. And here was a people that was filled with pride. Now, I want us to notice some things that resulted because of this pride. First of all, we find in our text a people deceived by pride. A people deceived by pride. Notice again, if you would, please, in verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Sounds like some of the brethren at times, right? We can be so ready to consume one another and to burn somebody's house down. Not literally, but figuratively. And here they were. They were ready to kill. And they were right, at least in their minds, in wanting to do so. I mean, man, here they were. Jephthah, we're going to burn your house down. We've been slighted. We're offended. You didn't ask us to the party. You didn't invite us over. You didn't take us to the battle. How dare you go to battle without us? We are Ephraim. Don't you understand who we are? I want you to look with me, please, in Judges chapter 8. We're going to find that this was a pattern for the Ephraimites. God gave Gideon a mighty victory over the Midianites. What a victory it was. But along the way he had some difficulties because some of his own people withstood him. One of those instances we find here in the 8th chapter. The Bible said, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. They came to Gideon and said, Gideon, you made a mistake. You didn't invite us to the party either. And so we're upset about it. Gideon reminded them of how good God had been to them, and the place of their inheritance was a very coveted place to be. It was a wonderful place where they dwelt. A place where God had blessed tremendously the fruit of the ground, and it was a beautiful place. In fact, the Bible speaks of it in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 3. The crown of pride was their cities and the place of their dwelling. In fact, God says in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 9, if you'd like to write these references down for your own notes, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 9, the Lord said, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of the heart. He's speaking here about the fact that Ephraim is a proud people. In Isaiah chapter number 11, Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 13, he says, the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Ephraim had a problem. What was the problem? That was, they were filled with pride. They were never satisfied with what God gave them. They always wanted more, and they always wanted recognition. And they said, listen, Jephthah, you messed up. You didn't invite us to the party, and we're going to burn your house down. How quickly sometimes you and I are to get offended, to be slighted, to feel slighted, and to speak words against people and to come against them. Maybe we won't march to the front door of their house, ring the doorbell, and say, hey, we're here to burn your house down. But in our heart, that's our desire. To see them suffer. To see them pay for what they did to us. And we think we're right in doing it. That is the deceptive nature of pride. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What was Ephraim's problem? Well, Ephraim, if you'll remember, was Joseph's son. And Joseph was the preserver of the lives of his brothers. I'm telling you, if anybody deserved to be recognized, if anybody was sort of the little Lord Fauntleroy of the family, it was Ephraim. They had a problem. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3, addressed that problem, because that problem is not only the problem in Ephraim, it's a problem in every place. He said in Romans 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know what pride is? Pride is when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. John the Baptist said, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said, he must increase, but I must what? I must decrease. You know what you and I need to do? We need to decrease. We need to decrease in our conversation. We need to decrease in our desire. And we need to allow Jesus Christ to increase in our lives. May the Lord help us. These people were deceived by their own pride. Do you remember how Satan fell? What caused Satan to fall? God didn't create the devil to be the devil. He created the devil to serve him. He created Lucifer to serve him. But in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12, the Bible said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You find any problem with those sentences? There's too many I's in there, aren't there? What was Satan's problem? What was Lucifer's problem? He was filled with pride. He was the worship leader in heaven. And friends, he saw the angels and the hosts of God's universe bring praise and glory to him. You know what happened to him? He got pride in his heart. He said, well, wait a minute. Why aren't they praising me? Why aren't they glorifying me? And so he was filled with pride. And because of his pride, he fell. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the story where God created man and placed him in the garden. And he created for Adam a wife. He made her, named Eve, and he brought her unto him. And the devil, the serpent, began to work on Eve to try to tempt her to sin against God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 4, the serpent rebukes her and says unto the woman, you shall not surely die, speaking of the time that she would eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Hey, wait a minute, Eve. God has held out on you. There's something he didn't tell you. If you eat that fruit, then you'll be like him. And so she ate it. Notice verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desired to make one wise. That's pride, friend. She wanted to be wise. She wanted to be as God. She took it and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Pride entered in. And pride deceived her. And because of pride, she fell. Then they had a child in chapter 4. In fact, they had two boys. The Bible said in chapter 4 and verse number 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. What happened? Satan said, I want to be lifted up, and he fell. Eve said, I want to be like God, and she fell. Cain said, listen, thank you very much, God, but I'll do it my way. I'll bring the fruit of the ground. Listen, don't tell me to bring that lamb. I'm not into that. I've grown these fruits. This is something that I have done. I can get to heaven on my own righteousness. I can make my own way. And when God didn't accept it, what happened to him? He got angry. You know, there's a lot of angry people in our world, aren't they? I hate to say this, but there's a lot of angry people in God's church. Angry and bitter. Why? Because they have refused to repent. They have refused to forgive. They have refused to submit to God. And in their reaction, they just as soon kill their brother as get right with God. I'm talking about a people deceived by pride. The Bible says in Proverbs, if you look there with me, please, Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. Then I want you to notice, if you would please, Proverbs 11 and verse number 2. Proverbs number 11 and verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Satan said, I want to be exalted. Eve said, I want to be exalted. Cain said, I want to be exalted. But what happened in all three cases? They fell. Instead of glory, they received shame. Instead of exaltation, they received humility. They were humbled. They were lowered by God. Friend, the Bible tells us that we should humble ourselves in His presence, and He will exalt us in due time. There was a people deceived by pride. You know what the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 6? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You ever heard somebody say, I just feel like God's against me? I just feel like things aren't working out. It's just like God's hand is against me. By the way, He's not against you. He is for His people. But I want you to know, when you take the spirit of pride, the haughty spirit, the Bible said God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. A people deceived by pride. I want you to see a second thing. A people divided by pride. Would you look with me again in our text in Judges chapter 12? A people divided by pride. Remember, it was not God's intention that His people, though they were separated by in their inheritance by tribe, it was not God's intention that His people be divided. He had the tabernacle placed in Shiloh. They were to come there. They were to worship God there. They were to be one people. They were to bring glory and honor to God. But because of pride, because of sin, there was division among God's people. They were ready to kill Him. These people of Ephraim said, we will burn thine house upon thee. In verse 2, and Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. There was a war going on. How could you not know about it, he said. In fact, he said, when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, you didn't have concern, you didn't respond to me in my time of trouble. He said, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. There was division among God's people. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10, only by pride cometh contention. Is there contention in your home? Is there contention among God's people? Then let me get straight to the diagnosis. According to the Word of God, it is because of what? It is because of pride. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28, verse number 25. The Bible says this in Proverbs 28 and verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Friend, if there's contention, if there's strife, where's the root? It's pride. Have you met people who want to stir up strife? Have you met people who want to call everything into question, who want to cast doubt on people's character, who want to always look for some problem, some difficulty, never concerned about the good of God's people, but always concerned about finding the bad thing? Have you ever met anybody like that? I have. You know what their problem is? It's pride. God said, only by pride cometh contention. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that pride was a destructive influence in the local New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writing to the church at Corinth says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There was divisions among God's people. Why? Because some of them said, well, I like Paul. I mean, Paul's my guy. Well, I like Apollos. Apollos is my guy. Well, I like this guy, and he's my guy. He takes care of me. And there was division. You know why there was division? because of pride. People concerned about self. Philippians chapter 2. If you'll go there with me, Philippians chapter 2. And verse number 3. Excuse me. Let's look at verse 2. Paul said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Well, that's exactly what Ephraim was doing. They were striving. They were seeking the vainglory. They wanted to be recognized as leaders in the fight. So do nothing that way. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." How do we, what's the medicine? What's the prescription for pride? Here it is. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Start thinking like Jesus, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Do you know what so many people have a problem with? They want people to serve them, but they have no heart to serve. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient, and he took upon himself the form, not of a king, but of a servant. In other words, if Jesus were here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and by the way, he is. He's in his believers. He's in his body. But if he were here, what would he be doing this morning? He'd be at the door greeting people, helping them, finding out if they have a need. He'd be serving in the nursery. He'd be working as an usher or a greeter. He would not be concerned about where he was going to sit, but where others were going to sit. He would be helping. He would be serving. He would be greeting. He would be ministering to people. And friend, that ought to be the spirit that we have in the church of God. A spirit of humility and a spirit of service. Why? Because we've received the greatest thing we could ever have. We've received God's gift of eternal life. We've received the truth of God's Word. And as recipients of such, we should be so grateful for what God has done for us. And when we see others coming in, we ought to desire the same for them. And therefore, with that spirit, with that desire, we're going to serve and we're going to help and we're going to give them first place. If you're one of these people concerned about the fact that you need first place, friend, according to the Word of God, your heart is filled with pride and you need to repent and get right with God. Pride divides God's people. Now, how did it happen? How did it happen? Well, first of all, it happened because of their assumption. Notice again in our text, they came to Jephthah. They're ready to fight. And they said, "Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didst not call us to go with thee?" They assumed something. Have you ever made an assumption? They made an assumption. They heard, "Oh man, did you hear the news? Jephthah led the army to victory. What a mighty victory it was." Oh, well, he didn't ask us. They made an assumption. And so they got together and they said, "Listen, do any of you feel bad that Jephthah didn't invite us to the war?" "Oh yes, we're very upset about it. I can't believe Jephthah would do such a thing. What do you think we ought to do?" "I think we ought to get the army together and let's just go burn his house down." "Oh, sounds like a good plan to me. Let's just go burn his house down." They assumed something to be true that was not true. Would you go with me to Proverbs chapter 18? And if you got a highlighter, would you highlight this? And if you got a paperclip this. If you got a pen, would you circle this? In fact, take a colored piece of paper and put it in your Bible and keep it there because you're going to need this verse. Proverbs 18 and verse number 13. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Can I read that again? He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. You know, one of these people that go off half-cocked, assuming something, and say, well, let me tell you what I think about that. Did you hear about so-and-so? Well, let me tell you what I think. And oh, help us, help us, help us in this time in which we live. What does everybody do? Post it on Facebook. Oh, I've been mistreated. Oh, woe is me. Oh, these people. Oh, look at the injustices that they've done. And don't have the facts. Don't care to have them. Don't ever investigate to find out. Don't ever ask the proper people. Just assume things and start answering matters. And the Bible said it is a folly and it is a shame and it causes such damage to the cause of Christ. 42,000 Ephraimites dead. Their assumption. Friend, don't assume. Get the facts. Ask questions. Ask them from the right people. Their assumption. Then secondly, their anger. Their anger. Notice, as they assumed their response, we will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Hey, Jephthah, we're going to burn your house down. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Here's another one. Maybe connect to this previous one, Proverbs 18. Proverbs 16 and verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. In other words, this, it takes more of a man to rule his spirit than it does to conquer a city. It takes more of a woman to rule her spirit than to run off at the mouth and start spewing some foolishness. Their anger. Then I want you to notice their aggression. Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Now notice this here, please. At the very close of verse 4, it said, because Ephraim, because they said, Ephraim hurled insults at the men of Gilead. They hurled insults at the very men who had fought for their freedom, fought for their protection. And they hurled insults at them. They said, ye Gileadites, you're fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. In other words, you're some kind of hybrid, mixed up group. You're not even, you know, you're not even the real deal here. And so, what happened was, you see, the words that they uttered, they just began talking. You know, they heard the thing and they just started uttering words. And they saw those men of Gilead and said, hey, you guys just aren't good enough. And started hurling insults and started speaking about them and drawing conclusions about them that were not true. And they uttered words that they should have never uttered. You know anybody that's ever done that? I could hold a mirror up and look at one of them. The Bible said, be not rash with your words. Be not hasty with your words. Oh, we hear a little news and we get a little blood boiling up in our body. And what do we want to do? Pray about it. Submit to the Holy Spirit. God, fill me by your Spirit. Help me this moment not to react wrongly. Help me to get all the facts. By the way, Jephthah gave them the facts in verses 2 and 3. He said, I called for you. I went out and I called for you and you didn't come. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. Maybe it was a miscommunication. By the way, those things are going to happen, but don't always assume the worst when they do. They didn't seek God. They just started spewing at the mouth. And because of their words, they stirred up the Gileadites. They stirred up Jephthah, and they had a war. There was aggression there. It was a terrible thing. How many churches have been ripped apart because of pride? How many pastors have been cast aside by their congregation because of foolish pride? How many people have been hurt and left the doors of a church never to come again because of pride? Oh, may God help us to humble ourselves before Him. May God help us to get right with Him and get right with one another. May God forgive us of our pride. It divided the people. It deceived the people. And then third thing we see, a people destroyed by pride. The Bible says in verse number 6, and there fell at the time of the Ephraimites 42,000. 42,000 people died. They were destroyed. That's not what God wanted. Perhaps Jephthah and the men of Gilead overreacted. No doubt they did. It's interesting to note that Jephthah only lived 6 years after this. We don't read of another accomplishment. We don't read of any more mighty acts of Jephthah. Very little is said at his death other than the fact that he died. Perhaps Jephthah and the men of Gilead overreacted. In fact, I believe they did. 42,000 they killed. They took advantage of a fact that they had a little different dialect and a little different accent, maybe. They could not say Shibboleth. They could only say Sibboleth. They couldn't pronounce it. And so as they crossed the passage, they said, "Are you men of Ephraim?" "Yes." "Well, if so, say Shibboleth." And when he would say Sibboleth, they would know. Or excuse me, when they denied being an Ephraimite. Not when they would admit being an Ephraimite. But when they denied it, they'd say, "Say Shibboleth." And they could not say Shibboleth, they could only say Sibboleth. And so, when they said Sibboleth, they put them to death. 42,000. They were destroyed by pride. Ephraim here, destroyed by pride. I want to tell you what pride will do. It will bring nothing but destruction to your life and to the lives of those around you. You know why there are churches drying up and dying today? I want to tell you. Because of pride. Do you want to know why people won't come into a church anymore? Hurt feelings and pride. Do you want to know why God's people have erred from the truth and cannot fellowship one with another anymore? I'm going to tell you why. Because of pride. Pride destroys. Pride is destructive. You know, it was God's will that His people live together in unity. In fact, you study the book of Acts, you study the New Testament church. What was the key to God's blessing on that church? It was their unity. It was the fact that they dwelt together in one accord. Just write these references down for your notes. You can look it up later. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. In all these instances, where do we find the church? We find them dwelling together in one accord, in unity. Look, if this church cannot dwell together in unity, we will not experience the power of God and the blessings of God like we could. If we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, if we harbor bitterness, if we have aught against our brother, then I want you to know God cannot bless our church and use us the way He truly wants to. Pride brings destruction. Would you go back with me, please, to the book of Proverbs? I'm closing here with these verses. Proverbs 29. I read this a moment ago. I'll read it again. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Notice Proverbs 15 and verse number 25. Proverbs 15 and verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the border for the widow. God will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. those Ephraimite soldiers, they went home. They said, listen, honey, I've got to go to war. Where are you going? We're going up to Jephthah. Why? What did Jephthah do? Jephthah's the one who delivered us from the Ammonites. Jephthah's the one who protected us. Well, Jephthah didn't invite us to the battle. Jephthah's full of pride. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like Ephraim. We're going to go up there and we're going to show him a thing or two. Those kids who were singing wonderful songs to God in that home and talking about Jephthah's exploits. No. You stop that. You stop that. Don't you talk about Jephthah. Listen, Jephthah's done us wrong. Jephthah has offended us. And we're going up there to take care of Jephthah. And they went up there. And they never came home. 42,000 men who did not return home. Why? Because of pride. Pride will destroy you. What's the answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is Jesus. Would you submit yourself to Him? Would you humble yourself before Him? If you will, He'll forgive you. He'll restore unto you that joy. He'll restore unto you the fellowship. You'll be able to walk into church with no problem. You'll be able to sing the songs. You'll be able to listen to the preaching. You'll be able to serve God like you used to before that pride came in. You can go to that brother that you've offended and you can say, listen, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. When you come to Jesus and humble yourself before Him, what's the Bible say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Humble themselves. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. I'm so grateful that God has led me in this way. But I have to admit to you that among our own people, we've been guilty of this sin of pride. Well, we've got everything right. We got our I's dotted and our T's crossed. But we've been consumed with the spirit of pride. And we need to come to God and humble ourselves before Him. There may be trouble in your home. You and your wife aren't getting along. You know why? Only by pride cometh contention. Maybe you kids are aggravated with your parents. Why? Only by pride cometh contention. You think, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. The Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't want to see any more of God's people fall, do you? I don't want to hear of another church with a problem, an issue. Look, our world needs the church of God like never before. Do you believe that? Our nation is drifting in such iniquity. We need to stand together for the truth and in the spirit of love and in the spirit of Jesus Christ proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. And I believe that God will snatch them in pity from sin in the grave.